walk in truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lance, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and how to apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more about the program and our ministry when you visit walkintruth.com. Now, for Halloween, we're going to share the recording of a special speaking event Pastor Michael did at the church about dark dangers of the occult. Here's Pastor Michael to introduce part two of the special message.
About 6 years ago, I encountered a case of demon possession, and I wasn't looking for it. You're going to hear something a little bit different today as we introduce, you know, the topic of the dark dangers of the occult, defining what the occult is, and then doing an interview with a group of individuals who were part of what occurred on that interesting, dramatic night, I would call it. And this is a special 633 presentation on Walk in Truth. I mean that we occasionally within our church do a more targeted message on an apologetic topic. In this case, we dealt with the occult. And because this had just happened, it was a scenario that we thought we would share. It's a wonderful story about deliverance, but also a story about the reality of dabbling with these things or opening the door to the occult and all that goes with it. So I pray it'll be beneficial for you, and may the Lord bless you, keep you, and protect you. Amen. Now, I know that most of the people that are here tonight did not want to hear me teach. That they want to hear from you guys. So let's talk about a little bit about just kind of what happened with the backdrop of this story. Okay. First of all, I have a history with the Richards family. I had the privilege of coaching this young man. I think you were maybe 10 or 11 when we started.
If not younger, about 8 or 9, actually.
Okay.
Up until teen years. So yeah. All of Little League at West Corona. So I had, like you said, I had the privilege to be able to play baseball under Coach Mike, and it was a privilege.
And it was a privilege for me to coach you. And so before we get to the night that all of this went down and all that goes with that, let's talk a little bit about your journey. So you grew up in a Christian family.
Very strong Christian family. My sisters, my dad, my mom, and even grandparents, all extremely strong Christians. So I was raised in a very strong Christian family and household, and I grew up in a church. But I think for, as many of you may relate to, church was not a relationship for me. It became very much like a routine, something that I felt like I had to go to be able to please other people. It was not a relationship, and it was a place that I didn't want to go to. And like I'm sure every single one of us can relate to, life got difficult. There's challenges that arose. My dad, strongest and role model for me, honestly, strongest man I know, because he battled cancer twice and defeated it twice. So if we can we give him a round of applause for that?
So JT, you told me that when we reflected on this night and talked a little bit about, you know, your history growing up, you were part of the church, but you didn't really have a personal relationship with the Lord. And then as time went on, you kind of just drifted. Tell us a little bit about what happened.
So I'm someone that needs to fully believe in something if I'm going to support it. I mean, if I can't back it, then I'm not going to preach it. And so with all this going on, as a result, unfortunately, a house that I grew up in, a whole family was affected by it. We had to move out of it. And it's something that took a huge toll on my life because I grew up with all my best friends. I literally ran that neighborhood and all of that little area next to Ralph's on Green River, if you guys know where that's at. But then besides just that aspect of it, I was kind of pretty good at baseball. And then I go into high school with all these expectations, in baseball. And I go into high school and had all these high expectations and was doing great in wintertime, but then all this stuff kind of started to have a ripple effect of the house and didn't go the way that I planned to at all. And instead of blaming myself, I kind of blamed God. I kind of figured that, okay, everything happens for a reason, so Jesus must not be real. And there's kind of a few incidents that I had where I wanted signs, I asked for signs, and I felt like I got signs kind of drifting in the other way. So then I started to lose trust, and as a result, I lost faith completely. And during this process, I wouldn't say that I was necessarily drifting into like research and cults or anything like that, but I was definitely looking to like self religious type of stuff, like spiritual guidance, yoga, meditation, stuff of that nature, to be able to find some type of spiritual connection. Because although I didn't think that God or other religions were how they're preached and taught about, I thought that there had to be something out there that I could go and find and be able to go to for comfort or, I guess, courage and stuff like that. During this process, I started having these like really weird dreams where I was like running away from something. And the more that I became aware in these dreams that I was running away from something, like it was almost like I was paralyzed. Like paralyzed meaning slowing down. So like imagine if you're just running full speed and then you start going slow motion and you're becoming more and more aware of the fact that you're running away from something and you can't run. Everything around you is just speeding up, but you're just completely still. And I'd wake up and have these just sweats. So my whole bed was just drenched in sweat and didn't think anything of it. Maybe it was like puberty type of stuff. I have no idea, right? So
How old were you when this started, would you say?
It was ninth grade, so
14, 15?
About 14. Yeah, okay. About 14, 15. Yeah. And then during, I had 10 of those dreams that I remember specifically. And during this process, sounds crazy, but it happened. So I was laying in my bed. And have you guys ever been so afraid of something, so terrified that you become completely paralyzed by fear? Where you just have these tears just pouring out of your eyes and you can't control it. You can't move a muscle. You can't even think. And you're just shaking and you're just nervous as can be. And in the corner of my room, lights were on and everything. There's this 6, 7, 8 foot tall, sounds weird, but it happened. So it was a man, right? Like this like spirit black type of thing. Didn't have any legs. It was like misty kind of like at the bottom. But what I saw was like a beak and two dark eyes. Nothing else other than kind of just the figure. And I stood there, like technically laid there, just in fear, just shaking, paralyzed without being able to do anything. And that went on for about 2 to 3 minutes. I'd close my eyes, I'd open them. I'd close my eyes and open them. And there it was still just staring in front of me. And I was not religious at this point because by this point I'd already drifted away and started to look into yoga, meditation type of stuff, but I wasn't fully committed or bought into any of it. About 2 or 3 minutes go by, close my eyes on like the 5th or 6th time, and it was gone. And I was kind of like in disbelief, like, the heck just happened? Like, did this really just happen? And I closed my eyes one more time and I opened, and there was like this white orb type of thing, and it sounds so strange, but I remember finding so much peace in it. And for most of you guys, you'll probably be like, well, that's a perfect sign, like it's an angel, like God was there, God was able to send this angel to protect me. But that's not how I looked at it at all. I just looked at it as, okay, there's good and there's evil, but I still don't think that is how any religion is portraying it. I just know that there's definitely some type of spirits out there that are much, much greater than I am.
Now, you had a couple of experiences where some dark things happened, and you described one of them. And then I think that night that I came over, you talked about a couple other occurrences that were nearer to the present time. Describe a little bit of that.
Present time during the hospital or present time at the old house?
Let's talk about the old house.
Okay, so and after that incident had happened, I had 2 more dreams, and about 2 days later, I was upstairs. I was home alone. It was about 6 or 7 o'clock at night, and I had walked downstairs. There's a friend of mine there, and we're about to watch TV. And I just had this weird feeling walking downstairs, and I just stopped, and I said out loud, "I feel like I'm going to be possessed." And instantly, I had that fear overtake me. My body just started trembling. I had tears flowing from my eyes, and I was paralyzed in fear, unable to move. And the lights shut off, the TV shut off, and then it went static, and then it shut off again. The living room that I was standing in front of got extremely dark, and on the left side of the room, I was able to see kind of the same type of presence. I'm not sure if my friend saw it, but she was able to see all this other stuff going on, so she was a witness and was terrified, and I don't blame her. After a few minutes of standing paralyzed, looking at this mostly darkness, I saw mostly darkness rather than figure in this, but 2 or 3 minutes go by, and got the courage to run outside, and all the other street lights were on, all of them except for my house, and still went back into my living room, tears just flowing from my eyes, and like the most craziest feeling that you could possibly think of. Just, it was mostly fear and uncertainty of what I was seeing, what I was experiencing, what was going to happen, if it was going to go away, and then eventually, I guess it did. I kind of just left. I'd shared the experience with my dad, but like you guys probably could imagine, he didn't really believe me, you know, probably just like a nightmare or something like that, because it's movie-like, you know, that doesn't really happen. And again, was not religious. That did not drive me to God. That did not drive me to a church. That drove me more to like a spiritual type of place where I got more into like yoga and meditation and stuff like that.
You described a moment in your backyard, I think you said you were, where you were meditating on what's called chakras.
Yeah.
And chakras are allegedly, according to this teaching, and it connects with yoga, seven psychic center points of your body. In teaching behind yoga, the teaching is that the kundalini, a white coiled serpent, believe it or not, rests at the base of your spine. That white coiled serpent is released through the postures of yoga, and then eventually creeps its way up to the crown of your head, I think is how the teaching goes. Yeah. You were, as you read this book on chakras, you were chanting. Did you have a mantra?
It wasn't like a specific type of chant, but just how we pray to God. I was type of praying, but it wasn't to like God specifically. So as I mentioned, there was a drive to be able to find that power that maybe hasn't been identified yet, or maybe it's just like an inner type of thing that I have to go and discover myself. So as I got more and more into yoga, I got into chakras and I bought a book, and basically like a beginner to chakras. And it describes that visual people, which I'm pretty visual myself, you could actually get to a point where you could start to see the different colors and start to feel these different energies of which all these different chakras contain and stuff like that.
And, so, what they talk about is that you have to align these chakras or energy points to arrive where you're supposed to get. Enlightenment, basically, is the goal. So when you saw this color and you described an overwhelming, like, powerful experience, what was that like?
So when I talk about being in my backyard doing these yoga postures and stuff, I'm not talking about for a few minutes. I'm talking about 30 minutes, sometimes even up to an hour. And he talked about this. It was a red-orange energy color that I would start to see. And I thought I was doing the chakras right, because it said that visual people could start to see the colors and feel the power. And when I say power, it was a power like I've never felt before in my entire life. Like I'm very ambitious. I run a visual marketing firm alongside with Robert and other partner, Conrad. But with that, and then even a few other ventures I was doing, everything just went straight downhill. I played baseball in high school, and even under Coach Mike, and projected myself to be playing professional baseball. I'm not doing that today, and I'm bittersweet about it, but I think everything happens for a reason, and I think that reason is still playing itself out. But with everything that kind of happens, the power that I felt with this red-orange type of thing was something I never felt before. And
do you feel that that was the moment that, because I think you said that was February, March of last year?
Yeah.
Do you feel like that was the moment that something came into you, that something dark came into you?
My wonderful girlfriend, Kinsey, has been very religious since it starts. And it's pretty cool because on her prayer card, she goes to Vanguard University, but she actually put for her prayer request for me to be able to find Christ, and got baptized. And so it's pretty amazing on that side of it. But from the religious standpoint, from a few months ago when I was not Christian, she would, I guess, defend, but then also preach and kind of open me up to Christianity and stuff like that. And she talked about how Satan is the king of deception. And at the time when I felt this power, like I said, I thought all my businesses and all these other things were going to just take off and life was going to go the way that I expected it to go. And it was deception the whole entire time. Looking back on it, I was idolizing a false god without even realizing it.
Mackenzie, we'll bring you into this for a second. So here you are, you're attending Vanguard University, and I had a question, and my question was, and I kind of asked this when we had a chance to talk, what were you doing dating a guy like this?
Right?
Look at this face, Mike.
I mean, I know
okay.
He's strapping and good-looking. And
I like her. Let's leave that out of it.
But here you are, a committed Christian, and You felt you told me that you didn't feel like the Lord kind of released you. You felt like he was really calling you to pray for him.
It was the weirdest thing, and I'm not into like missionary dating or anything like that. don't do that.
thank you for clarifying.
I had known him since my junior year of high school, and we like lost contact for a couple years. And on our first date, I told him my background. I'm like, you got to realize that I'll love Jesus more than I'll ever love you. And he was like, okay. And he was like, just know I'm not a Christian. And I was like, not yet. I don't know. And I even talked to my teacher about it, and my teacher, later, because she knows the whole story and stuff, but she would normally like tell people that you have to let go of those relationships because, you know, we're not called to date people of other religions and stuff and other beliefs. And she was like, not for a second did I ever think to tell you to break up with him or break it off or anything. So that was super cool.
So as things got progressed, and we're talking about from the spring of last year to the point that we all came together on the night of November 10th. We'll fast forward for a second. You had this experience. You saw these colors. You described it as a power that you've never felt before. But then things began to shift a little bit. And you said that when Mackenzie would bring up church and stuff, and you even did this the night I came. You may not remember this, but you were kind of angry about church. You were angry about God.
Yep.
You talked about, you know, the church is in it for money. I know you struggled with some of the other verses regarding animals, which we won't go there tonight. So in this time, did things get progressively darker?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I thought everything was going to skyrocket, but it didn't. It went straight downhill from life standpoints, but then also on health standpoints. So in September, I got pretty sick. It was a 2-week process of me vomiting blood, and I lost 15 pounds and other type of symptoms that were going on that weren't necessarily explainable. I went through blood work, different type of tests, got another endoscopy done, and all of it was coming back negative, so it wasn't really adding up or making sense. But then basically just masked the problem for a little bit. And then in November is when everything kind of got even worse. It was a Tuesday. I had woken up, just felt like I was absolutely hit by a train, had zero energy at all, was in a pretty bad mood, but didn't feel well. And within like the next 5-10 minutes of waking up, I was in the bathroom vomiting blood pretty violently and progressed to other issues, which don't need to describe. But yeah, it wasn't all that pretty. Nor that comfortable. It's pretty painful, actually.
You ended up in the hospital?
Yeah, so Kenzie's wonderful grandparents, Emma, Pop. My mom was in Colorado visiting my other sisters, and my dad was at work, and she was at school. And so I was, it went on for a few hours to the point where I'd called my doctors and then got a call back and said that if it happens again, I need to go to the emergency room. And they suggest that I go anyways. And so they thankfully took me to the emergency room. So thank you for that. And then the emergency room is more of her behalf because I honestly don't remember 100% of it at all. It's kind of crazy.
Let's transition there. So Mackenzie, you had a week of pretty dark stuff happening.
Hell. Literal
a
hell.
Week of hell. And I told JT later, you better marry this girl. Because if she stuck through you through this stuff, this is a good woman.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Thank you.
So he's in the hospital. You're there with him. And an episode occurred. Describe what you saw.
So it's actually so weird. There were three separate times that it happened. And the first time he, you know, was just talking to me and it was like he passed out. And for some unknown reason, I just got the urge to put my hands on him and start praying for evil to get out. Nothing but the Holy Spirit would have led me to do that because I'm just like, I don't look at someone who passes out and be like, God, please save you. Like, I don't know. Like, I just... So that was weird, and he started convulsing, like you see in the movies, actually happens, like the back raises, you shake, their eyes roll backwards. It was absolutely terrifying, but not at the moment. Looking back on it now, it is. But, you know, and after like 5 minutes of me just putting my hands on him and praying for evil to get out in the name of Jesus, he woke up and he was like, "Hey, did the doctors come back with the results?" And I was just like, And so I was like, okay, maybe it was a coincidence. Maybe he just passed out and was having a bad dream or something. And so I was like, okay, let's just continue. I can do this. And then, so we kept talking and like 30 minutes passes by. And then we're talking about his dog Bentley and how he had taken her to the park that day. And then in the middle of a sentence, he passes out again. And so I do the same thing and I put my hands on him and start praying. And this time it got, progressively worse. Like, he sat up, eyes rolled backwards, so it was just the whites of his eyes showing, and he was smiling and saying no. And it was not his voice. It was something that I would have never thought that I would experience in my life. I didn't think that this stuff happened modern day. I was like, okay, well, that stuff stopped when Jesus went back to heaven, right? But no, it's very much real, and I was very confused by everything, and, you know, so I kept praying for him, and again, he just wakes up, and this time, he woke up completely disoriented and was confused on where we were. He kept saying, you left a long time ago, and I was like, no, I've been right here the whole time, and if you want to tell what your dream was.
So the incidents of what she's talking about praying over me, I don't remember, but I do remember the dream. And in my hospital bed, there was a light right above the bed. And Emma had left to go back to Corona. And in the dream, she had went to, and there's nobody in the hospital, but I could tell that I was in the hospital room because I was in the same exact room. And there was a curtain, and then outside was a hallway that led straight and then left and right. And I was basically just laying there alone and fine, but felt very, like, cold and kind of felt, like, uncomfortable, if you will. And the light above me had shut off, and then so the whole room was completely dark. And then the left light in the hallway shut off, and then the light in front had shut off, so there's only a light to the right-hand side. And I got an urge to be able to get up because it felt like my stomach was burning me. And so I pulled out my IV. I undid the arm strap for the heart monitor, I believe it was. And then I stood up, and the more I walked towards the curtain, the more burning sensation that I had inside of my stomach. And I got to the point where I got to the curtain and went to go undo it. And as soon as I did that, I got like pulled straight back to my bed and woke up. And then that's when I was confused as far as where I was.
Well, we could not fit this entire 633 message that we did in two broadcasts on radio. So you can listen to the rest of this entire conversation on the Walk in Truth app. And I would encourage you to download the app today. It's a blue pillar. It's free in your app store. And download the Walk in Truth app, and you can listen to the rest of this conversation, subject matter, and share it with anyone that you think it would be helpful for. And so here we are on the weekend, and it's always a wonderful time to worship the Lord corporately, to sing to him, to give thanks to him, to love him and his people, to invite friends, to open up the Word of God and get equipped and hopefully encouraged and even challenged. So I want to encourage you to come out to Living Truth Christian Fellowship, where I serve as senior pastor. And this Sunday, we are going to start new service times at Living Truth, 9 and 11 a.m., and a 1:30 p.m. Spanish service. So if you've been thinking about coming, you can choose either of those times. The 9 a.m. is a new time for us. We've pushed both service times back a half an hour to try to ease up our parking, which gets pretty crowded at the second service. So come at 9, come at 11 a.m. I'm usually in the courtyard. I would love to meet you. We have donuts and coffee out there. We have an incredible, loving congregation. What you hear on Walk in Truth is coming from the pulpit of Living Truth Christian Fellowship. So the service time's 9, 11, and a Spanish at 1:30. And the easiest way to find out all you would like to know is go to walkintruth.com and click on that church tab. You'll get information, driving directions, what to expect. Walkintruth.com, click on the church tab. And remember, if you're not anywhere near Southern California. You can join our live YouTube. We YouTube the second service, so that'll be at 11 a.m. now. And you can connect to that YouTube channel from our website, which is walkintruth.com. Have a wonderful weekend, and we hope to see you very, very soon. God bless you.
We need your support to keep the Walk in Truth show going strong. By becoming a monthly partner with just $20, you can help us cover radio airtime bills, make our podcast available, and even expand our reach to more radio stations. Your contribution will truly make a difference in supporting our ministry. Join us in spreading truth and wisdom across the airwaves. Visit walkintruth.com and click donate. That's walkintruth.com and click donate. I'm Mike Massaro. On behalf of Pastor Michael Lance and Living Truth Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people.